5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkInSports.com, and this is a Work in Sports podcast. Happy Monday, everybody. We've got a pretty big week ahead. Later this afternoon, I'm interviewing Dr. Samuel Todd from the University of South Carolina. The reason Dr. Todd and I are speaking is because his research is focused on the differences between sports job seekers and other industry job seekers, which is really cool. In fact, he helps sports employers streamline their hiring process. He studied how happy people are in sports careers and how people find their right fit in the sports industry. He and I are going to be fast friends because we're obviously interested in the same thing. So I'm super excited about this. And I think you guys should be too. I think we're going to get a lot of good information out of that. That's going to publish this Wednesday. So keep an eye out. That'll be out there. In the meantime, today's QA question comes from an expert in their own right. For the last 10 years, Carl Keating has worked for Adidas in their brand marketing department and then shifted over to Nike, moving to the Netherlands and became their global brand manager. He wrote me on LinkedIn asking a question, which I'll be honest, took me back for a bit for obvious reasons. I mean, Carl's kind of an expert already. Carl's going to be an expert guest on the show because as soon as he asked me a question, I said, yes, I'll answer it, but I want you to be on the show. So he's going to do that next week. So I owe him an answer to his question first. Carl asked, if North America gets the 2026 World Cup on Thursday, what do you think the immediate impact will be on sports jobs in the U.S.? Carl, I love the immediacy of this question. This is happening right now, and it's really big news. For those of you who are not soccer buffs, a bit of background. The World Cup is the largest sports event in the world, period. Let's add some perspective. The 2014 World Cup final was watched by 1.01 billion people. To give it perspective, the 2014 Super Bowl, the same year, was watched by 114 million. That's a great number, but it's not 1.1 billion. And that was just the World Cup final. There were 64 games that took place in Brazil, and there were 12 different venues throughout the country. This is a huge event. All those games got huge ratings and brought a lot of business to Brazil. But let's backtrack a little further. I'm going to go on a quick rant about my beloved sports media. In today's day and age, the media is focused solely on visuals. We're all about viral videos, breaking news, scary images, and in a way, fear-mongering. I call it the SB nationing of sports journalism. And what I mean by that is, if you're familiar with the SB Nation model, and they're not to blame for all of this, but I feel like it kind of started with them. The SB Nation model is we're going to create a bunch of individual blogs for each team, and we're going to hire somebody at a very low rate, mind you, to report on this team. And they're not necessarily going to be qualified. Yes, SB Nation hired some well-known columnists to be part of their voice. But for the most part, they hired everyday fans to become journalists. And they basically taught them write about whatever other people are talking about and give your own opinion. And it became like opinion just peddling in a way, hot takes. And what it did was it created an entire focus of journalism that was unqualified. So a lot of normal everyday fans would read stuff from SB Nation and might think it was true or real or gospel, and it wasn't most of the time. It was just opinion. And it started to dull the line of those who were the true and seasoned journalists and those who were the people that just spoke out through social media or through this platform, and it gave them a credibility and a gravitas they didn't necessarily deserve. This SB Nation world brought about more people who thought they deserved credentials and little blue verifications next to their Twitter handles, but in a lot of ways has been the death of honest reporting and the death of credibility. A perfect example, this weekend, on Friday, I believe it was, there was this huge Rob Gronkowski, Patriots tight end, rumor that he was imminently going to be traded, and it started because of someone on Reddit. we're a gullible audience, but we also don't know who to trust anymore because there's so many people out there talking and sharing, and we don't want to be late to the party. And there's a reason I'm bringing this all in. Now, granted, the Rob Gronkowski thing drove me nuts in a way because this rumor started on Reddit and all the seasoned people in the Boston area started having to chase this down. So now they're chasing down to see if there's any truth to this, to see if there's any real story there and to find out what's the underlying truth because the fans were demanding it. Is this true? Did this really happen? And it was all sparked by a Reddit user. And that's what's really hurt journalism in a lot of ways is they're all running around with their chickens with their heads cut off, and they don't know how to perfectly articulate what's really going on and build trust with the audience anymore. So there's too many people out there that aren't qualified that have a voice, and that's dangerous. Now, how does this all tie into the World Cup? You're probably thinking to yourself right now, what is this guy talking about anymore? Well, let me explain. When I talk to people about the World Cup, or I talk to people about the Olympics, you know what they tell me? They remember the visuals that the media pushed out, which is often afterwards, the stadiums in ruin, right? You've seen it before. Brazil builds all these new stadiums, or Sochi, or any of the most recent Olympics, build all these new stadiums and venues for their event. And then within years, they're decrepit, there are weeds growing everywhere. They're great visuals, so the media pushes them out everywhere, right? It's an easy story to sell. It's low-hanging fruit. And the same thing has happened with the World Cup. They've shown Maracanã Stadium in Brazil overgrown. Tiles are falling from the ceiling. Seats have been ripped out. Stadium looks terrible. There's no way I can deny that. But the media gloms onto that side of the story and doesn't share the other tantalizing parts. They go with the visual and a little bit of the fear-mongering and a little bit of the easy sell and walk away from some of the really great stories that have come out of some of these events. You want to know the bigger reality? According to the Getulio Vargas Foundation in 2014, they're a think tank in Brazil that did a lot of research into higher education. They do a lot of higher education research, and they're well-respected and well-known, okay? Their research indicated that in the 4 years prior, so from 2010 to 2014, 14 million jobs were created because of the FIFA World Cup, which is the equivalent of 180 Maracanã stadiums filled to capacity. More than 1,200 of those jobs were in merchandising at the events, 17,000 people working in hospitality, 20,000 people trained and employed in security, near 1,000 people employed in logistics, near 1,000 other people employed for event management. So that's the history of the event, but that's not visual. That doesn't sell as well. The story people remember is these crumbled stadiums and the decrepit conditions after the fact, but they're not remembering what it did for the region. So that's the history of the event and what it means to a region. What will happen here? The number of games in 2026 will actually increase from 64 to 80 as they expand their field. What we've seen as a huge problem in World Cups and in Olympics is the need to build these arenas and start from scratch. They do not have that problem in North America. They have plenty of venues to choose from. Matter of fact, they're turning away venues. If the North American contingency of US, Canada, and Mexico win the bid, which comes up on Thursday, the United States would host 60 of the 80 matches, while Canada and Mexico would host 10 matches each. There are currently 23 candidate host cities, all with stadiums, all with facilities. Three are in Canada, three are in Mexico, and 17 United States. In the bid, if the bid is successful, then the number of host cities in the three countries would eventually be cut down to 16. And there would be three in Canada, three in Mexico, and 10 in the United States. All matches from the quarterfinals forward, including the World Cup final, would take place in the United States. That's 16 host cities that will have major events that surround the game. Marketing companies will be expanding their reach. There'll be digital platforms. There'll be sales opportunities, marketing opportunities, tons of opportunities. Now, quick story time. When I was at CNN, I had a friend. I was there from 1996 to 2002. Okay. In 1999-ish, I had a friend leave CNN to go work for the Salt Lake City Winter Olympics. Now, the Salt Lake City Winter Olympics didn't take place until 2002. They started preparing 3 to 4 years in advance for the scope of this event, and he was part of that team. You can't begin to realize the reach and scope and opportunity globally recognized events create. You are going to see a major blast of job opportunities arise in marketing, in broadcasting, digital, sales, operations, event management, community relations, public relations, tons and tons more, hospitality, on-site. I mean, you don't realize, you probably aren't even thinking right now, but if there's an event at, let's say, Quest Field in Seattle, that event is not going to happen just in the 90 minutes of the game. There's going to be events that happen before and after and in the community and building up the fan base and travel and hospitality. So much is going to come out of this. The onslaught for jobs will begin, hopefully, on Thursday. And it's a really exciting time, whether you're a soccer fan or not, because there's opportunity in so many parts of the field. So keep an eye on that, because we're going to stay on top of this story. And Carl, thanks for the awesome question. I'm glad we're able to have this discussion, and I will talk to you guys on Wednesday.